The faces China never wanted us to see are plastered across multiple media outlets this morning. Thousands of photographs have been released in a giant cache of secret documents from Xinjiang, providing fresh evidence of the abuse of Uyghurs in mass detention camps. The so-called Xinjiang police files also reveal a trove of data, including a shoot-to-kill policy for escapees. This sets the backdrop for the first visit to China by a United Nations High Commissioner for Human Rights in 17 years. Sophie Richardson is the China Director at Human Rights Watch. Welcome to RN Breakfast.
Thanks for having me.
Now, before we discuss the visit to China by the UN High Commissioner for Human Rights, what can you tell us about the trove of leaked documents from Xinjiang detailing these abuses of Uyghurs?
It's extraordinary and chilling information. Let's start with the fact that these images are people's children, their parents, their siblings. You know, each of these people has a story. But I think most important, you know, you can see from the looks on their faces that people are frightened and confused. And it's almost certainly because they're being detained not for any discernible criminal offense, but simply because of their identity. You know, and the weight of this evidence adds to the urgent need to investigate, hold Chinese government officials accountable for crimes against humanity.
So just tell us, what do the photographs, the ones from inside the detention camps, actually show?
Well, there are a number of different kinds of photographs. Some of them are sort of like mug shots, and they're reminiscent on some level of, you know, the kinds of images that we've seen from places like Toh Slang in Cambodia. But other images show, for example, detention center officials holding, very powerful weapons pointed at detainees who don't appear to be resisting in any way. You know, and some of the individual images also show people with minders sitting right next to them, presumably watching their every move and making sure that they only say what they're supposed to say. And, you know, overall, they depict a highly securitized environment, you know, in a region that's already awash with surveillance technology and police and military.
And look, this is pretty rare to see this sort of stuff, right, coming out of Xinjiang. Is it known how these photographs and secret documents were leaked?
It's not entirely clear, at least not to us. There have been a number of leaks over the last 2 or 3 years from sources that clearly have connections to authorities and certain online databases, mostly of Xinjiang police information, that have been leaked to people outside the country and then assessed, in this case, by scholars like Adrian Zenz and media consortia that have released different assessments of the information. Some focus on speeches given by officials over the years that, among other things, show President Xi Jinping's complicity in these policies. Others detail more, for example, the management of these facilities and show, you know, the inherently abusive tactics and bases for people's detention.
And has China responded to this leak?
It's dismissed the evidence, as it has with all others, you know, suggesting that it's biased, that it's fabricated. But, you know, this adds to an already very strong evidentiary basis for formal investigations and prosecutions. So to simply dismiss this is simply not a credible explanation on the authorities' part.
And
especially when you see the senior most government officials' names on speeches.
Yeah, indeed. Look, the timing of the leak can't be overlooked, coming on the very day that the UN Human Rights Chief is in China. How much pressure does this put, do you think, on the UN to investigate the reported abuses against Uyghurs?
It's extraordinary. It's not just the High Commissioner's credibility on the line. It really is the integrity of the entire UN human rights system to hold a P5 member state accountable for committing atrocity crimes on Bachelet's watch. You know, if she walks away from this visit without a very strong plan to actually investigate and prosecute, it really has showed that the Chinese government has, you know, has cowed the world's foremost human rights system. And that's something that should terrify people.
This is the first visit by a UN High Commissioner to China since, I think, 2005. How likely is it that we'll see unfettered access to Xinjiang province? No media is allowed to travel with her, and there's talk of a COVID bubble arrangement being put in place. What's that actually going to mean in terms of being able to actually see what's going on?
Yeah, there's no way that the High Commissioner will see anything the Chinese authorities don't want her to see. And there is no way she will be able to speak to people without their having to fear reprisals by authorities. This is why we and many others have pushed for so long for her office to gather information outside the country where they could do so safely. And indeed, her office has put together a report about serious abuses across the region, but then she hasn't published it for reasons that aren't clear. And had she done so before this visit, she would have been in a much stronger position, having put forward that factual basis to challenge the authorities and to show that she's got the victims' interests and survivors' interests at heart.
Well, just on that, I mean, last week we saw a group of some 40 politicians from 18 countries warning Michelle Bachelet that she risked causing lasting damage to the credibility of her own office if she went ahead with this visit to the Xinjiang region. Do you agree?
Yeah, we share that view. We absolutely share that view and have set out exactly what should have happened before the visit, what needs to happen during it, and what must happen afterwards, not just to ensure accountability and justice for Uyghurs and many others, but also to defend the integrity of the international human rights system as a whole.
So are you saying you'd rather she didn't go?
Well, there are a number of steps that she could have taken in order to make the visit credible. There's a possibility, maybe, that she will surprise us at the end of the visit and, condemn the authorities' conduct around the visit and their policies and go on to lay out a blueprint for investigations and accountability as she's done with other serious human rights crises around the world. So we're not going to completely foreclose that option just yet, but much depends on what happens in the coming days and weeks. And governments have a role to play in ensuring that she fulfills her mandate.
Sophie Richardson, thanks so much for joining us.
Thank you.
That's Sophie Richardson, the China Director at Human Rights Watch. You're listening to RN Breakfast.
ABC RN helps you understand the world. Find more of our stories on the ABC Listen app.